Welcome to Reiki Cafe Radio. We're your hosts, Christine Renee
and Izzy Wells. We come together with more than 25 years of experience in Reiki, meditation, chakra wisdom, clairvoyant techniques, and holistic healing. We are passionate about helping individuals release resistance, step into their authentic selves, and align their lives with the truth of who they are.
Reiki Cafe Radio is your choice for vibrant Reiki conversations, meditation experiences, and holistic wellness. This is your space for a deeper look into the ancient wisdom through modern eyes. So grab your tea or coffee and join us as we sip our way through this week's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another amazing coffee conversation. I am once again joined by our fantastic Chantel this morning. We are so excited to be talking with you again. I love doing these coffee conversations because they're just so much fun. I can always feel the energy of the community coming through, even though we're, you know, separated by lots of miles and a screen. So I'm really excited for today's conversation. Chantel, thank you as always for joining me today.
Yes, I love these. I think it sets a good week off, the intention for the week and a conversation, some thought-provoking topics. So yeah, it's a great way to start.
Beautiful. So today we are going to be talking about embodying confidence as a Reiki practitioner. And this was a topic that we decided to really dive into because when you join our Facebook group, Reiki Cafe Community, you have to answer a couple questions. And one of those is, what are you struggling with right now? How can we support you during your time in this group? And one of the things that we see time and time again is questions about imposter syndrome or people who are new to their Reiki practice feeling like, am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong? I saw someone else doing it this way. I don't do it that way. Is that wrong? Like, I don't feel confident. I don't feel able to step into my power and say, yes, I am a Reiki practitioner. I'm worried that, you know, maybe I'm not as good as other practitioners. There's a lot of feelings of low self-worth and self-esteem and imposter syndrome. And a lot of these really common experiences that we have when we embark on something new, right? And I think for a lot of us, it can stem from the fact that I think Reiki tends to find us. We don't really tend to go looking for Reiki. And I think a lot of times that transition of one day you wake up and all of a sudden you're Reiki level one, level two, level three, wherever you are in your journey. And you kind of feel a little bit adrift in a way, I think, because it's when Reiki comes, it really does revolutionize your life and it turns it into something completely new. And I think a lot of times these feelings of self-doubt or low self-worth or a lack of faith in our abilities as practitioners can stem from the fact that maybe we never really saw ourselves as practitioners in the first place. So I'm really excited to dive into this topic today because I think we have many, many people in this group who are really going to resonate with what we are sharing this morning. So if you are watching us on Facebook and you have a specific question, you have a specific aspect of this topic that you would love for us to cover, leave us a comment and we'll be sure to cover it on our winding path through today's conversation. But thank you all for joining us. Let's go ahead and dive in. Chantel, you want to kick us off?
Imposter syndrome is a funny thing, I think, because I like that one in the sense once you realize you have it, it brings up so much stuff to work on that it's extremely overwhelming. But I feel when for myself, I didn't realize what imposter syndrome was until a couple years probably into it. I think I was so excited on the path that I was on and I was so eager to learn and to grow and evolve and work with people. And then there was like this point in my career with it, my action with it, where I was like, oh, like, who am I to think that I can do this? You know, suddenly you take stock of your life and who you've been and your own choices and your own mistakes or whatever. And I think that's where that pivoting moment is when you can look at your own self and say, who am I to do this? And that's where imposter syndrome, like, creeps into the mind and starts really messing with our psyche and our confidence. The one thing that I recognized with it for myself is, and with students that I work with, is like what you said, is Reiki finds us. And I think when you can lean into that and recognize that it's not our ego that's out seeking to become a practitioner or seeking to, you know, be in a healing, industry or healing modality and all that kind of stuff, but it's really that it is seeking us. And I think that's where the turning point becomes, because when you can lean into that, there's confidence there. There that gives like this soft cushion of saying, if the universe wants me to do this, or my higher self agreed to do this, or my soul is seeking something different, then me as a human, as my ego self, I can lean into that and accept that, you know, I'm not an imposter on what I'm doing. I do very well at, you know, I'm good at what I do and I help a lot of people. And I think that's kind of where we can, as practitioners, lean into the confidence of that and feel comfortable and be like, I can show up for myself and my clients and my family and everyone else. And, but it is definitely an interesting one. So I really liked that one as a first one to touch on.
Yeah. And I think, you know, psychologically, I've got a bit of a background in psychology, and psychologically, imposter syndrome is really fascinating, because what we tend to see when someone experiences imposter syndrome is that they'll say that's something that everybody else experiences. Like that's, you know, I've heard about people who experience imposter syndrome or feel like they aren't supposed to be where they are, but that's just them. I'm actually not supposed to be here, or I'm really not there. They just think they are, but they actually are there. I'm really not. And so there's this sense of othering ourselves that goes into imposter syndrome as well, because there's this sense of, I actually am the fraud. Everybody else is pretty okay. They just think that they're not, but I'm actually the odd man out here. And I find this really fascinating, especially in a Reiki context, because Reiki is something that unites all of us, right? Reiki is this energy that flows through everyone and everything all of the time. And what we're doing as Reiki practitioners is we're really just coming into awareness of that. No matter which lineage or strand of Reiki you're practicing, it becomes this awareness of the fact that we're all connected at the end of the day. That's really what Reiki brings us, is this awareness of our connection. And so I think when we're talking about imposter syndrome with our Reiki practice and feeling like, you know, I'm actually a fraud, there's this sense of, no, you're coming back into connection with a truth. You are always connected to Reiki. You are always experiencing that flow. But what happens when you become a quote unquote practitioner is you're just engaging with that flow in a conscious way. You are actually, in a really beautiful way, honoring this energy, honoring your nature as a conduit of Reiki energy. And so I think when we really go back to our roots and we look at what is our Reiki practice, what is our connection with Reiki, why are we doing this? When we come back to that why, like you were saying, it can kind of help mitigate some of that imposter syndrome, because it's not coming from an egoic place, right? And I think this is something that's really interesting to bring into the conversation when we're talking about confidence, is looking at how are we defining confidence? Because there's a lot of discussion right now in the spiritual community about our ego and that like selfish intent of wanting the glory and the I of being a practitioner, right? And I think when we look at this, it's really not coming from a place of ego. The way that I see it is there's two kinds of confidence that we really only have one word for. And I think that does us a disservice, but we can look at the egoic side of confidence of, I am a really important healer. I help so many people. I'm such a good practitioner, but it has this root in feeling small, where we need to prove ourselves. We need to do more than enough to show that we're worthy. We need to have other people see how good we are in order to feel enough ourselves. It's rooted in this feeling of being small. Whereas when we are stepping into our truth as a Reiki practitioner and really stepping into our power, right? Claiming I am a Reiki practitioner, I do help people. It's instead coming from, even though they sound the same, right? But it's coming from this place of expansion, of claiming your truth as a divine being. And so there's no need to prove yourself. There's no need to worry about how other people are perceiving you or what your relation or comparison to other practitioners is, because it's coming from this place of understanding, I am already enough. I am already whole. I have been chosen by the divine, not as in a, I am the chosen one and everyone else is not, but as in a, I was perfectly created for this role that I am playing in this lifetime as me. And that's enough. So there are these two different flavors of confidence that we tend to use interchangeably. And I think a lot of times that adds to a lot of this imposter syndrome that we do have, because we can look at a lot of practitioners who are coming from that confident place of really projecting themselves and stepping into their power and all of these things. But when we really look at where are they coming from, it is coming from that place of lack and feeling like we need to prove ourselves and be ostentatious and share our gifts with everyone. And this really outward presentation of confidence, which is often underlying a sense of worthlessness or a sense of a lack of confidence. Whereas when someone is truly confident in their skill as a practitioner, or truly confident in the path that they have been chosen to walk by God, source, divine spirit, whatever resonates for you most there, when we're really confident in that, the way that I see that kind of confidence is we're just aligned with who and how we were meant to be. And that kind of alignment, that kind of being in flow with the universe, comes with its own sense of peace, because you know that you're exactly where you're meant to be. You know that you were, whether you realized it or not, whether you consciously, right, with your mind chose this path or not, you were chosen for this. You were created for this. This is just realizing your truth with a capital T. And that comes with a sense of purpose and passion and gratitude. And I think that kind of confidence is also balanced with a kind of humility, because I think Reiki is, it's such an amazing practice, and all of the ways that it can present and all of the different threads that it has across different modalities and different kinds of healing. It is an honor to be a Reiki practitioner. It is an honor to engage with the energy in any kind of way, whether it's a self practice or practicing on others. It is truly an honor. And I think when we strip away, when we allow ourselves to just kind of set aside other people's expectations or the stories that we've heard or how it looks on Instagram, when we can just almost create this little bubble, even just for 5 minutes, and really just sit and meditate on how incredible it is that not only did we get here at this point in life, right? Not only have we gone through everything that we've gone through, experienced everything that we experienced, and somehow still Reiki has found us. Reiki has brought us to where we are. And that now that we're sitting here, now that we're in this place and we've been guided here, we are interacting every single day with the divine in some way, whatever that means for you. That is an incredibly privileged place to be, I think. And I think when we can come back into that connection and that understanding, and in a way that respect, right? That respect of this practice that we get to engage with, it really does help balance out some of that anxiety, I think, because there's a lot of, when we look at anxiety or when we look at imposter syndrome, there's a lot of, well, what if I do something wrong? What if I get found out? What if somebody says something negative about my practice? And it, when we come back to, this is a gift that we are getting to do, this is something that we have been chosen, or whatever word works for you there, we've been chosen to practice this way in this lifetime. There's no fear there, because there's this sense of awe and this understanding that you've been guided this far already. You're going to continue to be guided forward. And yeah, there will be lessons and there will be struggles and you probably will do something wrong. But when you can rest in Reiki energy, when you can allow it to be that guiding force that it already has been through your life, I think that in and of itself can bring some of that confidence and that sense of peace with it.
Yes, I agree with that. There's actually been a couple comments talking about how do you find your confidence or filling into that. And I think what happens that I've heard with a lot of people is there's like this idea of what a Reiki practitioner looks like, or what the room looks like, or the things that you're supposed to say. And I think for us, like as Reiki practitioners, it's being our authentic self. You know, like our personality is what's going to guide us as well. And there is the humility of it, like being humbled through the experience and feeling like Reiki is guiding us. And we are, you know, being chosen through life to walk the path, because a lot of people who come to Reiki in a sense of healing of themselves. You know, they're working with their own limiting beliefs. We're working with, you know, an illness. We're working with some kind of life experience that forces us outside of the normal thinking process, and we go searching in for something else. And then Reiki shows up and we're like, oh my gosh, this is the answer that I'm seeking for me. And then it guides us to go further and start working with others because it has its own agenda. And I've said that for myself since day one, like Reiki has its own agenda. I thought, you know, for me that Reiki was going to just be for myself. And then when it started to grow into something more beyond myself, then it was like, okay, so how do I show up for that? And it isn't, I remember someone saying, well, I don't dress like, you know, this guru, or I don't dress like this. And I'm like, you know, Reiki doesn't have, there's no like outfit that we're supposed to wear, or a certain look, or we don't need to wrap our hair, or whatever it is that we tend to put up on this platform. And it's like really taking it down from the platform and just feeling into yourself, how does it show up? What are the colors that represent you? What is the feeling that represents you? How do you speak? Because what you speak is really speaking from your heart, because there's something that you've learned that has communicated to you deeply enough to where then you want to give that information to your client or to whoever it is you're working with, your family, all of that. And when we can lean into that, there's this platform, this foundation of confidence that naturally I feel shows up. But when we are in this thinking small, and a lot of people don't realize that, they think that, you know, this is just who I am. But when we are in that thinking small mentality or that constricted mentality, we can grow from that. We can heal from that. Doesn't mean we're stuck there. So anytime these, you know, being overwhelmed, being stressed, anxiety, imposter syndrome starts to show up, all we have to really do is look within ourselves and recognize, why do I feel that? What is in me that's limiting me in my own thought process and my own growth and my own awareness? And when we can shift that mentality and our emotions with that, that's when we go into that expansion, right? And it's not because suddenly we're this bigger Reiki practitioner. It means that we are healing ourselves. And I'm actually a really big advocate for, as healers, that we need to be healing ourselves, that we can show up to the table as a clean bone or a hollow bone and leave what we have going on at the door. So when we walk in and we're working with our clients, that we're able to separate ourselves from what's going on in the room for them. And when we can do that, that's when we really rise. Because it's like we are showing up authentically as ourselves, the most healed version that we can become. And it doesn't mean that we haven't dealt with stuff. You know, we've all had a lot of trauma, and that's what I was saying. Like, the trauma is what typically leads us to Reiki. But to be able to show up like that, that's where the confidence is. And being able to lean into that version of yourself and to recognize, I'm meant to be here and to do this work. And however that looks, however that sounds, because Reiki is not going to falter. It's going to do what it's meant to do. And it's our ego that we need to self-check and say, it's okay if I'm, you know, however it is and however it shows up for me. And I'm doing this work and they're going to feel it and they're going to walk out feeling amazing.
And I think it's such a beautiful answer to that question of, you know, well, how do I find that confidence? Because there's really two ways through that. And I think the first one is that idea of, where is that confidence lacking? Why is it lacking? What boundaries have been put up around you to make you feel small? Whether you, like you said, recognize that those are boundaries, or whether you just believe that that's, you know, this is who you are. You are this person. And I think when we look at, again, when we go back to looking at the flow of Reiki and the nature of Reiki, Reiki is boundless. Reiki is limitless. Like you said, Reiki does not falter. It is not limited by anything. And so when we're talking about letting go of your limits and releasing these blocks and boundaries that are keeping you small, we're not, again, coming at this from an egoic perspective. We're really just looking at this idea that we are divine beings. We are, in a lot of ways, we are mimicking the nature of the divine. And it is the nature of the divine to be expansive, to be limitless, to be free, and to be able to choose how we want to show up. And this is really where this conversation becomes really important, because when we're talking about imposter syndrome or anxiety or whatever it is in our Reiki practice, we start to fit into or try to conform to, like you were saying, this idea of what Reiki should look like, what a practitioner should look like, instead of using the power and abundance of our free will to say, this is how I want to show up. This is how I'm choosing to show up in my Reiki practice. We say, no, this is how I should show up. This is how I should look. This is how I should act in order to be a good practitioner. And that part of the reason that we have this tension is because that perspective, that way of approaching it, even though it's completely natural, right? This is not said in judgment, because we've all experienced those feelings, but that way of perceiving our practice, it goes against that Reiki flow. It goes against that natural inclination towards expansion and abundance and flow. And so anytime we have any kind of resistance or anxiety or heavy emotion, there's some element of how we're perceiving ourselves or the world that's going against the flow, that's going against that nature of things. And so this is where we go back to, where's that limit? Where's that block? Where was that redirect that caused you to start going against the flow of life? And this is where we go back to, what are the limiting beliefs that you're holding on to? And as a Reiki practitioner, those boundaries, those limits that we set for ourselves often come from those past experiences, especially those in childhood, especially those that happen between the ages of 0 to 10 or 12, because that's when our subconscious mind is forming. And this is something that we talk about with our Soul Rising students, is the fact that when we are ages 0 to 10, our framework for who we are, for what our limits are, for what we're good at, for what we're bad at, for who we are, for how worthy we are, for how enough we are, for what we can and cannot do, all of that is in a way decided for us when we are ages 0 to 10 or 12. We don't have the capacity to be able to say, oh, that was just somebody's opinion of me. It's not actually true. We take on everybody else's opinions as facts from in that age period, which means that everybody's opinion of us forms our framework for reality. It forms our concept of who we are, and we take it on as truth. And I use this metaphor with our Soul Rising students because I think it's a great way of visualizing this, is if someone comes to you and they give you this diamond necklace, right? And they're like, this is $1 million necklace. It is my most precious possession. It is worth, it's priceless. It's incredibly valuable. I need you to take care of it for a few days. You're going to polish it. You're going to buy a little vault to store it in. It's going to have its own velvet pillow. You are going to cherish this necklace. Whereas if the same friend comes to you with the same necklace and says, I don't know, it's just a piece of costume jewelry. It's probably not worth anything. You can throw it away if you want to. I don't really care. You're not going to pay any attention to that necklace. You're going to throw it away. Your actions in this case had absolutely nothing to do with the actual value of the necklace. Your perception, your actions had to do with what other people told you to perceive about the necklace. And it's the same thing with our self-worth as people. We have friends, parents, colleagues, teachers, everyone in the world around us from the ages of 0 to 10 or 12, telling us how we should perceive ourselves, telling us what our worth is, telling us what our skills are. And we believe them. We take that on. We say, oh yeah, okay, I'm either the diamond necklace or I'm the costume jewelry. And 90% of the time we get told that we are that costume jewelry, that we're worthless, that we can just get thrown away, that it doesn't really matter. And so we take that on with us. And when it comes time to be a Reiki practitioner, when it comes time to step into that role and to be in a place of service, to be in a place of holding space for someone else, all of those limiting beliefs, all of those opinions that we took on as fact come up to face us again, because suddenly we're stepping beyond what we should be doing. We're doing more than what we were meant to. We are daring to believe that we're actually worth helping someone else, right? All of those voices start coming up, not because they're true, but because they are part of our framework of reality. And so our job, continuing with this analogy, our job is to then play the part of the jeweler and really go in and look at this necklace and really evaluate, what is its actual value? Not what our friend told us to believe, not what we think about the necklace, but what is its actual value? We go in and we look at, was this feeling that I have of I'm worthless, I'm not enough, I'm not a good practitioner, was that someone else's opinion somewhere down the line that we chose to take on as our truth? And is it something that we can let go? Can we release that? Can we say, that was just an opinion, I don't need that one anymore? And we can start to root out those limits and come into that place where we are starting to redirect ourselves back into the flow with life, where we're not limiting ourselves. We're not bringing all of the baggage and the dirt and the limiting beliefs that other people gave us along with us into our journey. And that's a process, right? That's a lifelong.
Yeah. That's like process. Peeling back the layers of the onion, so right. to speak. And you know, where we have to be vulnerable enough in our position to do that, to peel back those layers, to look at it, to recognize, oh, this is a belief that somebody put on me, placed on me, versus this is truly how I feel and think of myself. And I think with society too, because when we look at like the medical field and what that looks like, we take on that kind of concept as well. You know, what does it look like to be in this position? But when we come to what our psyche is telling us, you know, and that inner voice is speaking to us, and it isn't our true voice, it is somebody else's voice, then that is where we can really peel those layers back and say, I can release this one, I can heal that one, I can let that one go, because they're not really, it's kind of like they're artificial. When you really get in there, it is artificial, you know? So if you start pulling them out by the root, then we can heal that version of ourself that is only created by everyone else's voice. And then when you step into our power and we show up as that powerful practitioner that can walk into a space, that can hold space for someone, that can have a listening ear, that isn't ready to speak and jump just because there's a conversation happening, right? Because there is two forms of communication. We speak and we listen. And when we are in a conversation, a lot of times we're thinking about what we're going to say. And before we even, before that person's even done speaking. And so we've already, a lot of times have already created what our dialogue is, what our thought process is, and what our response is based off of what they're talking about. But what's happening is we're not actually hearing what is being said. And that's a big, I think a big thing in society as a whole, is that a lot of people don't even know how to communicate. So when we can come forward and be the listener, be the observer, witness people through their journey, then we get to hold that space for them, which is also indirectly holding space for ourselves to do the healing as well. And that's what I think is so beautiful about Reiki, because when you were talking, I was shown like this beautiful tree, and I was like, oh, like that's Reiki. Like if you are admiring this beautiful tree and it's perfect in all of its, you know, it's twist and turns and the leaves, even if there's like knots on the trunk or there's this or that, right? We are in awe of nature. We're in awe of the beauty of how it's created and how it grows and the depths of its roots and the, you know, how big the leaves and everything are, the branches. There's no judgment. I mean, it's very seldom that you walk up to a tree and you're going to sit there and judge it. Oh, look at this tree, right? But we do that so much to ourselves. And as beings of nature, of divine, of energy, all of this, we need to look at ourselves and see the beauty within. You know, we need to tune into ourselves and be able to love who we are, love our body, love our mind, love all the aspects of ourselves that we've been taught not to love, you know, and to see ourselves through the eyes of our soul versus the eyes of our ego. And when we can do that, when you can truly look at yourself and recognize all of the things, everything we had to go through to get here, all of the souls that are up there waiting, that are wherever we are, waiting to come in, you know, our generations, even our grandparents and other grandparents, all of them coming forward just for us to be in this moment, and then to show up also to be able to do Reiki is such a beautiful experience. And I believe that it's because we are in alignment. You know, I believe that we, you know, a lot of us probably were healers in past lifetimes and did this long before this incarnation. And if it's our first time, that's great too, you know, but it's really leaning into the beauty of who we are and trusting who we are and not having to be heavy in our hearts, but to really say, take the one thing, even start small. What is the one thing you don't like about yourself? and start admiring that, you know, start giving it love, start rubbing, like if it's your foot, like say, you know, people have feet issues. They're like, I hate my feet. Love your feet. You know, they get you where you're going. They take you from point A to point B. They balance you. They ground you. They earth you. They hold you up. They're the foundation of your entire body. And then it's like when you can do that and just love one part of yourself that you didn't love yesterday, just a little bit more today, eventually you will start to love your whole being. And you'll start to see the things in yourself that you couldn't see before. And that's a lot, because I think what happens is a lot of people, we don't recognize others are loving us more than we love ourselves, right? That we can sit here and downplay our life and somebody is looking to us going, oh, I wish I could do what she's doing. I wish I could be there. I want, like, you're living the life somebody else is admiring, or you have the body or the looks or the lifestyle, whatever it is that somebody else is seeing and admiring. And I think that that's when we can tune into ourselves and recognize, I am constricting myself. I'm living small in my own thoughts and beliefs and physical being. And with that, coming back to self-love and self-care is where that amazing practitioner grows from and evolves from.
There's a saying that I love to remind myself of, and it's this idea that at one point, the past version of you wanted to be where you are today. Right.
Yes.
Where you are now used to be your goal in some way. Right. And I love this idea because it really reminds us that we are constantly evolving, that we, in our current state, exactly where we are now, we are the manifestation of our soul's dream yesterday, a year ago, 5 years ago, when we were born. We are manifesting who we were meant to become each and every day. And that's an incredible gift. Right. And I think that's a beautiful,
it's an incredible concept. I love that. Go ahead. But I wanted to just interject and say, I love that. Yes.
Yeah. And it's a brilliant way to start on that path of self-love, because if you really sit and think about that, if like, in a way, it's like I manifested myself, you know, my soul created this, exactly who I am right now, all of my quirks, all of my personality traits, all of my strengths, all of my weaknesses, my hobbies, my curiosities, all of it, me, exactly as I am right now. And if you can really meditate on that fact, that then lends itself to something that you were talking about earlier, of this idea that we are all here to be unique practitioners, right? If we think about it, the divine, that energy of God, source, spirit, universe, it's all one, right? Before we come into manifested time and space, energy is one. It's just energy. It's just the divine, God, source, spirit, universe. It is all that is. Coming into this physical reality allows that oneness, allows that energy to splay out, to experience itself in every single way possible, right? We are the prism through which that beam of life is refracting and is becoming different presentations, different experiences. And so we would be doing an incredible disservice, not only to ourselves, but also to the divine itself, to the Reiki energy itself, if we tried to be the same as everyone else, because that's not the point. That's not the purpose of being a Reiki practitioner. Reiki calls us, it calls us who we are, because our experience of Reiki, our sharing of Reiki, our understanding of Reiki is going to be unique. It's going to bring something to the table that nobody else has done before. Whether it's a specific way that you practice it, maybe you bring a different modality in, maybe it's just your flavor or your tone of Reiki energy, right? I like to visualize this like all of the colors. Everybody has a favorite color, right? And everybody also has a color that they don't like as much. And there's nothing wrong with any of the colors. We just have an affinity for particular ones on the spectrum. And it's the same thing with Reiki practitioners. You are your own color, your own tone, your own experience of Reiki energy. You are a unique healer. And people are going to gravitate to you, not because of the energy that you're sharing in its pure form, right? But because of how you are sharing it, because of the spin that you put on it, because of the unique aspects that you bring forward in that. And so if we can come back to that understanding of, I have been created, I have been manifested as a unique being, this is my purpose, right? Everyone is looking for, what's my purpose? What am I supposed to be experiencing in this lifetime? And part of it is, at the very base of it, you are here to be a unique being. You are here to be yourself. If that's all you do in this lifetime is just experience life as you, you will have fulfilled a big part of your purpose, because you are a unique viewpoint through which the divine can experience life. And if we can then bring Reiki into that and realize that we are called to be a Reiki practitioner, not so that we can be perfect, not so that we can heal a certain number of people, not so that we can, you know, change the entire world in a single day. We are brought to Reiki so that Reiki can flow through us, and so that the world, so that life, so that the divine can experience what it is like when Reiki flows through our unique perspective, our unique energy, our unique being. And that in and of itself, when we can come back to almost this like crown chakra point of view, right? Because I think as Reiki practitioners, we really get down in the details of, well, what if I put my hand in the wrong place? Or what if I draw the symbol wrong? Or what if I don't pronounce it correctly? Or what if they don't feel it? There's a lot of what ifs, which are very root chakra on that detailed level. But if we can kind of zone back out, if we can bring ourselves back up to this crown chakra perspective of, we are here to be unique divine beings, as catalysts, as conduits for Reiki energy to come through in a new way, then there's no fear in that. There's no less than in that. There's no competition in that, right? It is impossible from that point of view. It is impossible to do Reiki wrong, because all that Reiki asks of you is that you show up. That's it. As a practitioner, that's all that's asked of you, is that you show up as you, that you use that free will to choose to be yourself, to choose to say, this is how I am. I'm going to be open. I'm going to hold space, just like we hold space for clients or hold space for ourselves. I'm going to hold space for Reiki and trust that it's going to flow through me. It's going to get me where I'm supposed to go. But my role in this is to exist. Like, if you think about it that way, I always come back to this sense of almost like awe when you think of it that way. It's like literally all we are asked of in this lifetime, and in every lifetime, but in this lifetime, while we're having this conversation, while we're here listening to each other and we're experiencing Reiki, all we're asked of is to just exist. That's it.
It's just to show up. Yeah.
That's it. And that's like, it's incredible, because we put so much pressure on ourselves every single day to get our to-do list done, to be a specific way, to look a specific way, to do all these things, to be an excellent partner, to be an excellent mother, to be whatever it is. And none of that at the end of the day, none of that matters. Yeah. It's just, did we show up? Did we exist? It's incredible to me. That idea.
It is. And I think when you were talking about going back to like hand placements and stuff, I just wanted to touch on that, because I have found, you know what, do you, however your hands show up, and there was a comment that earlier, however your hands show up, do you. If you want to just move through, do that. If you're crazy and your arms are moving and you're, do that, you know, whatever it is, because when I get out of my head, instead of being all, you know, whatever that is, that's when people really get off the table and they're like, oh my gosh, that was so powerful. Why? Because I allowed it to flow, because I got out of my head, because I showed up. And I think that's for a lot of people is, yes, there is a traditional way of doing Reiki, but at the end, when we're talking about here, is showing up as your authentic self and being you, because your energy is what's going to show up on the table. And, you know, and it's like, that's what you want to bring to the client, is your personality, your uniqueness. And that's why those people are coming to you. That's why your clientele is aligned to who you are, because they are feeling there's something in you that they have in themselves. And that's what they're connecting to. It's not so much that they're connecting to the colors of your room or whatever it is. Yes, that's nice to have a great aesthetic and, you know, have a good presentation, but they really connect to you because of how you show up, how you communicate, whatever that is. And, you know, some are more serious and others are silly, and, you know, and you're going to get those silly clients. Or you're going to get those really serious clients that need a silly practitioner that can make them laugh and can pull them out of their seriousness. And so my advice to anyone listening right now is just Show up however you are, because that is what is going to call in your people. And that is how you're going to show up at the table. And I just think it's a great thing to watch, because I've seen so many different ways of doing Reiki, and I'm always in awe of it because it works. Because no matter what, when the people get up, they're like, oh my gosh, that felt amazing. Yeah, because the energy is going to flow through you however you present it. Mm-hmm. It's just making sure that we're coming. And like I said, peeling back those layers, and so that we're not in this place of limiting beliefs with ourselves. And that's really the wall that I see here, is like we come up to that wall because we're mirroring back the things within ourselves that need to be healed. But other than that, Reiki is going to do what it's meant to do. And it's going to animate you the way that you need to be animated to connect to the people that you're working with.
Yeah. You know. And I think when we come up to that wall, that point where we are faced with whatever it is we're faced with, right? Imposter syndrome, anxiety, mm-hmm. whatever it is. This is where understanding that we have a soul and we have a mind is so important, because just like we were talking about earlier with that friend who gives us a necklace and is like, it's either worth $1 million or it's completely worthless. We can look at that story. We can look at that analogy and say, oh, well, that was just their opinion. That was just an opinion. It wasn't true. What was true was the actual value of the necklace. But in this story, we didn't know that. All we knew was the friend's opinion, but that's okay. That's just an opinion. But we don't do that with ourselves, right? When we go into a session and we're like, oh, I'm going to mess this up, or I'm not a good practitioner, or there are others they could have gone to, why did they come to me? We take that as fact, right? We hear these thoughts in our head and we say, oh my gosh, you know what? You're right. I am. I'm going to mess something up. I'm not qualified for this. I don't have enough certifications. I haven't trained long enough. Who am I to do this? And we start to go down this rabbit hole, because when we are so identified with our mind, when we're so identified with our thoughts, we believe that those thoughts are reality. We believe that those things are true, when in reality, it's just an opinion, just like that analogy. It's just our mind's thoughts. It's just the manifestation of that framework that we were given from ages 0 to 12, of how we were taught to perceive ourselves. It's just a shadow of what we were taught in the past. It's just a shadow of our subconscious mind. We don't have to listen to it. We don't have to engage with it, right? I can tell you that I've done this for years, and my mind still loves to come in before a session of, oh, well, what if you don't know what to do? And what if it doesn't go well? And what if they don't feel anything? And it's like, okay, yeah, that's always a possibility, but mm-hmm. I don't have to choose to engage with that possibility. I don't have to choose to let that thought become my reality. I can acknowledge it's just a thought, and my soul has brought me here for a reason. This person has found me for a reason. Reiki energy is going to guide me, and I can rest in that trust. And I think that's another aspect of this conversation that's really important to touch on, is this idea that we tend to think that being healed means being immaculate. We never yeah. have doubts. We never have anxieties. We never have struggles, when in fact, it's the opposite. We have all the anxieties, all the thoughts, all the triggers, all the things. It's how we respond to them. It's the fact that we're not identified with them, that they no longer take over our reality, but we can understand these are just aspects of things that need to be healed, that are floating to the surface, that we can work with and we can heal. And so instead of being, you know, instead of them becoming our reality, instead of us taking them on as fact and snowballing, we look at them and there's almost an element of gratitude of, okay, there's the next thing that I'll work on healing. And I recognize that that's just gunk on the surface, and I can go deep within myself, and I can connect with my soul, and I can connect with my truth, and I can connect with Reiki, and I can rest in the trust that I am exactly where I need to be, that I am being guided exactly where I need to go. And that idea of brushing away those little bits at the top and saying, I can recognize it's just an opinion, and I can connect to this deeper, truer, more loving part of myself and rest in that trust. That's really what allows us to step into our power as a practitioner. It's not being free from anxiety. It's not never having feelings of imposter syndrome. It's being able to look at those and say, I know those aren't true. I know that's a shadow of something that's ready to be healed. And I know that I can go beyond that and reconnect to the place where that truth does exist, where that love is flowing, where Reiki is guiding me. And I can rest in that. And when we can almost de-identify from the mind a little bit, de-identify mm-hmm. from those limiting beliefs, in that gap, that's where we create freedom and that's where we create expansion. And that's where, like you said, that powerful practitioner is made from, because we are allowing ourselves to choose differently. We're allowing ourselves to see the choice to either believe that thought or to let it go. And we're choosing to let it go because we know that we can be more than that, that we can choose differently, that we can exercise that amazing gift of free will and just show up. And just exist and just be and come back to that truth.
Yeah. Of coming back. And what I was getting was to be able to laugh at yourself, you know, and to be able, like, if we can't laugh at ourselves, right, then when we're offended by those who laugh with us, and it's like, we should be able to get to this place, and not a should, but, you know, it's a great place to get to when we are doing the healing. And like you said, working through our healing doesn't mean we show up perfect. I am by far so unperfect because, you know, but I'm at this place now in my healing where I can recognize it. Okay. Yeah, I get that. I'm being triggered by that. Or that's something, yes, that's a shadow of myself and I need to work and heal that. And so it's just having the self-awareness. But at the end of it now, I've learned where I can laugh at it, not take myself so serious, because I think I have for so many years of my life. And now it's just like, it's all good, you know, and it's okay that the more that I work with people and I realize you have the same trauma I have, and I have the same trauma you have, we collectively are all going through a lot of the same experiences, just different variations of it, different degrees of it. But we've all experienced the same kind of traumas. And that is what makes us collectively human. And so when we can show up and say, yeah, I can relate to that. I understand what you're going through, because I, in my life, have gone through a layer of that, a level of that, right? And so that is really what we're doing when we're showing up as working on ourself and healing ourself, is just so that we can also mirror back to the client that if I can do it, you can do it, right? Because who am I to say I'm any better because I healed through this trauma, that trauma, whatever? No, it's not. It's just I'm finding my walk through it. And there's that path. And if you want to join me on this path, let's do it. Let's do this work together, right? I'll mentor you. I'll guide you. I'll show up for you and hold space while you do whatever you need to do. Scream, yell. There's times where I have clients and I can feel there's so much resistance in them. And I've told them, if you need to kick, if you need to scream, if you need to punch the air, please do it. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, go for it. And, you know, and if they release themselves, they actually I've had clients throw a full tantrum on the table. And then when they're done, they're like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, okay, now, because we've released that, we've moved that stagnant energy, we've screamed, we've whatever we've done, now I can go in and we can do this work together, right? Because really what Reiki is doing is lifting the Reiki within the other. And so we're now coming into this alignment, because as a healer, we're not healing them. They're healing themselves through the energy that we present, that we can offer. And so when we recognize that too, I think that takes a lot of pressure off. Like if you come to me and you aren't healing, that's because you choose not to heal, right? Because that's a whole nother thing too, is recognizing that in ourselves, we have the discernment, we have the free will to say, I don't want to heal. That typically happens on a more subconscious level, but it happens. And so if it's not showing up for you, it's not always because you as a practitioner aren't doing it. It's because the client themselves is not aligning to it, you know, yet. Because with yet, that means at some point in their life, they're there. They're there for a reason. So that's why I like doing the 3 to 5 sessions, because which is something like, you know, we align here with at Reiki Cafe. The one and done does not work, because a lot of times they leave, they feel amazing. And then a few months later, they're coming back and they're like, I don't understand what happened. Well, we're human. We go out in the world and we recollect energy, and, you know, what was balanced isn't going to stay balanced forever because we're just scratching at the surface. I mean, you can get 3 to 5 sessions in. Every session looks different. Maybe today's about soul retrieval. Maybe today's about cord cutting. Maybe today's inner child work. Maybe tomorrow you're just coming in and it's the most relaxing experience ever, because that's what you needed. right? And then we'll get, you know, so every time somebody comes in for their next session, I just had a client the other day say that they're like, every time I come to you, it's just completely different. And I'm like, yeah, because it's what you need. It's not anything I'm doing. I'm just showing up and meeting you where you're at. You're coming in with what you need to release, what you need to heal. And then she was just like, wow, she didn't even think of it like that. She's thinking I'm over here doing all this magic. And I'm like, no, it's what you are ready to release and what you're ready to take on. And so I think with that, when you can pull the curtain back as a practitioner and realize that we're only a percentage of what's happening in the room, because the client has to show up to meet their own. And then it's okay to give yourself that grace and say, if today's not the day for whatever reason, that's okay. But you know what I find too, is that I don't have clients that don't say, like, I didn't feel anything. I've only had maybe a couple, but you know what? Those clients still come back. And it's like, well, you're feeling something somewhere within you that is talking to you. That inner voice is saying, go back, go have another session. Why is that? If you're not feeling anything, you know, why are you going to pay for this? Why are you going to put your time into it, the energy into coming back to me? Because you're being spoken to on a much deeper level. And eventually there's a breakthrough that happens. And then that moment is like celebration. We get to celebrate you because, you know, they put their wall down, they released and they surrendered to the process in which we can offer. And it's just give yourself grace. Yeah. You know, we all have to do that for ourselves.
And I love that idea of speaking to, you know, that fear of, well, what if they don't feel anything? What if nothing happens? And we are so aware of the fact that we ourselves are complicated, right? We have so many layers. We have so many aspects of who we are. We understand that in ourselves, we are so much more than just how we're presenting or how we're feeling or whatever it is, how we look on the outside. But so often we forget about that with our clients, right? We feel like their outside, what they're saying is the whole story, that we should be able to go in and they should be able to have this transformative experience in a session and it should be absolutely life-changing every single time. And so when it's less than that, we feel underwhelmed. We feel like, oh my gosh, did I do something wrong? But we have to remember that just as we are multifaceted and complicated and detailed, so are our clients. And there are so many layers to who they are. And so I always say that our primary role as a Reiki practitioner, whether it's a self-practice or a practice on others, our primary role is to witness, to fully witness ourselves and our clients in the entirety of who, where, and how they are in this moment. We are all, whether it's a client or ourselves, all we are looking for is someone to give us permission to be who, where, and how we are, to feel the emotions that we're feeling, to have the thoughts that we're having, to have the courage to heal in the first place. We're all just looking for someone to give us that permission and to hold that space. And that process of healing, we know this for ourselves, that process of healing is going to be so different for each and every one of us. It is going to be a process. It is going to be a journey. And therefore, it's going to be that way for your clients too. And so what we are doing is we are witnessing them. We are allowing them to believe that they are worthy of having that space to heal, to believe that they are worthy to throw a tantrum on the Reiki table, to have just a session that's just them laying down. Whatever it is, we are holding space for the entirety of their being and at the same time holding space for the entirety of our being, because that's part of being a practitioner, is being able to see everything, being able to hold space for that and allow us to be exactly where we are. And that, you know, that ties into and kind of wraps up everything that we've been talking about, of this idea of you're just showing up. You're just showing up and you're witnessing your client and you're allowing what needs to happen because you understand that it's not your job to fix things. It's not your job to change things. It is your job to be that conduit for Reiki energy, to allow it to flow through you in that unique way that only you can bring, and to allow it to, like you said, reach your client and awaken in them their own healing and allow their healing to be their own. We're not here to heal them for them. That's their journey. That's their responsibility. That's their gift, is being able to experience and heal themselves. We're just here to witness the process at the end of the day. And I think that when we can tie together all of these things that we've talked about, that gives a really beautiful bubble of confidence and peace and that last understanding that confidence is different than pride, right? Confidence is a sense of peace. It's a sense of contentment. It's a sense of trust, of knowing that you are where you're meant to be, all of you, right? Even your flaws and your triggers and your anxieties, all of you is exactly where you're meant to be. And that is that true confidence that goes deep, of knowing you in all your glory, exactly who, how, and where you are now. You are just as you are meant to be.
Yeah. And I want to say with that, there's a difference of being proud and being prideful. Be proud of yourself in the sense of showing up for yourself and doing the, taking the classes, learning deeper, having that divine wisdom coming through you. Like, because it's not this, this journey of being a practitioner doesn't end because we've done level one, two, and master level, right? It's because we've deep dived into the theories of it, of the practice of it, of the learnings of it. And so as practitioners, I do want to say, be proud of the journey that you're on. Be proud of yourself for stepping up and into this practice. Okay. But it doesn't mean prideful. It just means be proud of yourself. And it's okay, I think, for us to be proud practitioners and say, I showed up. When the call came, I heard it. I listened. I stood up and I'm here. And now I can show up and hold space for you, for myself and everything. And so there is that level of being proud in yourself that I think we all should be able to pat ourselves on the back a little bit and definitely be like, I did it. Because if not, we wouldn't be where we are. It would have faltered away. It would have, you know, yes, we would still have Reiki, but it wouldn't be working through us. It wouldn't be moving our feet and our minds and all the things. And so knowing that it is, it's a great thing to be like, I did it and it's okay. It's good to be that, yeah. Have that pride.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is our, that's our call to you this week, whether it's for a day, a couple days, the whole week, an hour, whatever it is, can you let yourself show up just as you are, all of you? Can you just show up for Reiki this week? And see what happens. Let us know in the Reiki Cafe community how this experiment goes for you. This week of just showing up, letting go of the shoulds, letting go of this idea that you have in your head of what the perfect Reiki practice looks like. Let it go and just show up as you for Reiki this week and see what happens. Let us know how it goes in the Facebook group. And if you have any
questions, that's a great challenge.
Yeah. If you have any questions about it, if you have any takeaways, we would love to hear them. We would love to support you in that. So you can post in the Facebook group. You can message us directly. You can send us an email. We are truly here to help support this. It is an honor to be able to hold space in this way and to watch you all hold space for yourselves and for others as well. So thank you to each and every one of you who is listening, who's going to take up this challenge this week. I cannot wait to see how it goes for you. And we will see you next time.
Bye. Thank you, everyone.
Reiki Cafe Radio is sponsored by Reiki Cafe University, where your Reiki dreams become reality. Join us on Instagram or Facebook at Reiki Cafe University, watch our videos on YouTube, or visit the website to learn more about our colleges of Reiki, chakras, and business.
It's our aim to help you on your path to wellness, guiding you into confidence as you transmute your inner critic and say yes to you. We're here to help you bring your Reiki dreams into reality, and your path to abundance, health, and healing unfolds from here.
And love and light, Christine Renee.
And Izzy Wells.